my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 62 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. We're kind of doing something a little different. I don't feel like Chad and I get to do this often enough, at least on the podcast. We do go back and forth on Facebook or text throughout the week, but we're going to kind of talk about some of the big or the bigger news stories, news items from the world of professional wrestling over the last week or so, and kind of break them down and analyze it and hopefully do it in a positive way. But as I know, we probably will kind of go off the cuff a little bit, Chad. I'm looking at you, but not actually looking at you as I say that. But welcome back to the podcast.
Video Skype.
What's that?
I said we don't video Skype when we record this, so we don't see each other. But
that's true, and we probably could, or we could do the Google Hangout or something. And
yeah, but then I'd probably have to get dressed, so this is much better.
That's a scary thought. That is a scary thought. Well, I want to.
WrestleMania.
What's that?
Said wait till WrestleMania.
Yes, exactly. WrestleMania is just about 9 weeks away or so, and
9 weeks, I believe. Yeah.
Looking forward to that, and of course, all of the goings on with that. Chad and I will have more podcasts and updates, blogs over at my123cents.com as the time gets near. Also, I just want to throw this out there too for folks. Last week, I was approached by the editors of BreakingWrestlingNews.com. They've asked me to write some articles and put some things on their website as well, so I am doing that in addition to the My 1-2-3 Cents stuff. So be sure to check out both, and I hope to have some of the folks from BreakingWrestlingNews.com on the podcast here in the coming weeks as well. They'll talk more about what they do, but it's Greg DeMarco, if you know him, and Mike Bressler from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, actually. So I'm excited to be teaming up with those guys and the other creative writers over at that website. So check that out. And one of the things that they actually had me do over the weekend or early into the weekend was the incident involving Karma and, I'm sorry, I say Karma, Awesome Kong and Rebby Sky at a TNA event over in the UK. Rebby Sky, of course, the wife of TNA champion Matt Hardy. But this incident was something big enough that they sent Kong home. So, Chad, my question for you is, they've followed it up with saying further disciplinary action can be taken. What do you think that means for Karma or Awesome Kong's character? Would that, if she were to get terminated, bring her back to WWE? Would that be a good or bad thing for the Divas Revolution, do you think?
Well, it's a multi-part question, so let me start at the beginning. I believe... You know, I'm curious to know what happened, and I'm only curious just so we can discuss it more. I don't really care, but you have to go back. I believe it was...
Well, they have heat. There's heat between the two of them, apparently, from a YouTube video.
But even disregarding Rebby Sky, you got to go back about 4 or 5 years to when Kong was in TNA before, when after the... earthquake in Haiti happened, and Bubba the Love, this is when Hogan and Bischoff were kind of running things, and yeah. Hogan's ex-BFF, Bubba the Love Sponge, was there. He had tweeted, you know, to paraphrase, since this is a PG-rated show, I believe he had tweeted something along the lines of, screw Haiti, which did not set well with Kong. And Kong attacked him backstage, which led to her being fired from TNA, and that's how she ended up in WWE to begin with.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So when you add that into this incident, you know, is there some legitimacy? Was there a legitimate issue? Was it a perceived wrestling issue? Like, oh, he didn't shake my hand backstage, so now I'm going to be a jerk to them, you know, kind of like, had, you know, heard stories of before. And from what I've read, I don't know what information you have. I read something about Kong had taken Rebby's bags and thrown them out in the hall, and then when Rebby came back in, Kong, this I heard that either people stopped Kong from attacking, or Kong did attack her and get a few shots in before getting pulled off.
Yes.
I don't know. I, unfortunately, as much as I like Awesome Kong, and I think Kong has more to offer than Rebby Sky does to TNA, you know, it's right now Matt Hardy is the champion. You probably want to keep your champion happy. So if anyone's going to take a fall on this, I would bet that it's going to be Awesome Kong. And then, you know, if when all the facts come out, if this is a case of Kong attacking without
provocation,
then I think. I think the only logical cause is to fire or suspend Kong, because you can't have, you know, that's kind of like an unsafe workplace issue. You can't have people just attacking people backstage, even though it is a wrestling company, and you got to make sure people attack people in front of the camera. Right. So maybe Kong should have just went and grabbed a camera person and said that she thought they were taping some backstage segment. I don't see this working out well for Kong. I know that she was just elevated in TNA to take the place of Taryn Terrell as the leader of the Dollhouse. So it'll be interesting to see where the Dollhouse goes from here. As far as coming back to WWE, I don't think so. I think Kong is, from things that I've read online, I've not really noticed it myself. I believe Kong is kind of broken down. Is what I hear a lot. Like, she can't move the way that she used to. I think there's a place for her in WWE to work with now that they have women's wrestlers that are more focused on wrestling than just being models. But I don't think we'll see Kong back in WWE.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. I would like to see that happen just because I was a fan of hers in her brief time in WWE the first time around, but this is kind of segueing into the next talking point, and that is the incident that happened at Raw between The Rock and Lana, the comments that were made by The Rock. I guess there were some derogatory remarks to Lana, and a lot of people took exception to it because Lana is a woman, and would you talk to a man the way that The Rock talked to her? Kind of the slut shaming, as one writer put it, and the innuendos and everything else, and obviously in a PG environment, but even if you take the PG or however you want to rate WWE in terms of the parental controls or whatever you want to call it, is that kind of talk good for society in general and women in general, especially when you have Stephanie McMahon's character, who is a strong female character, and she is a strong female behind the scenes, and in fact will be on Good Morning America Monday morning, talking more about WWE, obviously, and her role with that. But does that detract from, and WWE has, by the way, since issued an apology for the comments that The Rock made, does that detract from women's wrestling? And you know, there's all kinds of things that you could say here, but I think it starts with even terming the division the Divas Division. Why not let it just be women's wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so first I have to start off by saying, as we were discussing before we started recording, I am not a big Rock fan. To me, The Rock is kind of like the Beatles when it comes to music. I appreciate their place in history, but I never really got into them. And I think Rock, now when he comes back, is approaching Chris Jericho level of staleness in his act. Like, his act was good during the Attitude Era, but but he has not done anything when he comes back to give you something new. It's a greatest hits. He's like that band that still performs at the state fairs. You know, he could be opening for Foreigner or REO Speedwagon. It's just, you know what you're going to get. And I think...
But, okay, how do you explain the... Again, I'm not arguing with you, but I guess I kind of am pulling out a point.
Yeah.
This past week's Raw was the highest rated, I think, since last year after WrestleMania. I would attribute some of that to The Rock being a part of the show.
I would attribute more to being the show after Royal Rumble and fans wanting to, that maybe didn't watch the Rumble, wanting to see what was going to happen. Or it's because Triple H is champion. Come on, Triple H has got the belt. That's what fans want to see.
That may be true too, I guess.
And remember, The Rock was a surprise. He was not advertised for the show. Even though everybody knew it was going to be The Rock,
right.
But still.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Continue.
No, that's okay. So to me, when The Rock comes out, and especially because The Rock is not given like any type of time constraint, it seems like he just goes out and does what he wants to do.
Uh-huh.
Like, he kind of overstands the welcome. It's like WrestleMania 27. That opening segment just, which actually in retrospect, when going back and rewatching, was shorter than it felt like. But it just, it's... him just hitting his catchphrases. And I'll admit, this week, the beginning when he walked up to Big Show and apologized and told Big Show, you know, if you remember the 99 Royal Rumble or 2000.
2000.
When Big Show and Rock were the last two and they both went over at the same time and The Rock won, Rock apologized, said, no, you know, actually my feet hit the floor, you actually won. And man, it's so crazy because the director of the Scorpion King was watching and he said, whoever wins this match, I'm going to cast as the Scorpion King. You know, and it, had you actually won the match, you might have been, you know, chasing Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious now and your whole life could have turned out differently. And Big Show started to, you know, kind of break down and get upset because, well, look where the Big Show is now and look where he could have been had he won. So I thought that was funny. But then he came up to Lana and it just... Yeah, it was not, in my opinion, it wasn't funny, it wasn't necessary, and it just undercuts Lana, who, her character has never, I mean, with the exception of the Dolph Ziggler storyline, which everybody hated, or at least the majority of the people hated, she has never been shown to be like a, you know, a sunny type character, or I'm trying to think of other...
Like a bimbo-y kind of character. She was that strong leadership type of woman.
Yeah. So her talking, you know, The Rock talking about hooking up with her in a hotel room or whatever, it felt very unnecessary. And I don't know, you know, there are rumors that Lana has heat backstage over some incidents. And, you know, there's speculation, was this done as like a public punishment? Which in that case... Again, wrestling can be so petty at times where it's like you got to grow with the times. And no, I'm sure there were some people out there that thought it was hilarious and great and whatnot. But overall, I was not a fan of that segment at all.
I agree. I don't get offended by things, and I definitely was not offended by it, but it was something.
Yeah, I wasn't offended. I was just bored.
Yeah, it was boring, and it was unnecessary. I mean, that time could have been used doing something else.
On the roster.
Yeah, and if you know, if Lana is indeed, you know, if this was some sort of retribution for, you know, backstage behind the scenes heat, which I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but yeah, I've seen those reports as well. You know. Then shame on management and whoever decided to do that, because it did nothing but then force WWE to later have to apologize for The Rock's actions. Now, what did you think of him coming out and kind of calling out the fans that were dressed like some of the WWE legends?
You know, you and I, at all the WrestleManias we've gone to, have gone in character, and we have never been acknowledged by... the camera or wrestlers, although R-Truth did stare me down once. But that was when I just told him he was eliminated from the Battle Royal and he should just leave, and that's what's up. I found it amusing just because the Randy Savage costume, the Hulk Hogan costume were good. The guy playing The Rock did not look, he just basically had a Rock t-shirt on. The interesting aspect of the segment, though, is apparently those guys were on the hard camera side to begin with, and then WWE didn't want them taking away from the action, so they moved them off camera. And then The Rock called it. You know, The Rock even said, when the fans started cheering for Randy Savage, The Rock's like, oh, we're going off script now. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. And went over and talked to him.
Yeah.
And it was just a quick, what's your name? Oh, yeah, you're great. Okay, awesome. Sit down. I didn't think there was much to it, but I can understand where Vince or Stephanie or whoever would be upset that, you know, they move these guys to get them off camera, and then The Rock gives them attention and you know, calls them out for everybody. But other than that, it was short, kind of to the point, and then Rock went on with his act. I didn't care. I mean, good for those guys. Like, you know, they got what they wanted by dressing up and getting the attention. So
yeah,
now it just makes us have to step up our game.
I guess we'll kind of transition now into what the bulk of the conversation is probably going to focus on for the rest of this podcast, and that is injuries.
Can we keep going with the Rock segment though, real quick?
Yeah.
And just because I want to know, because after Lana, after the guys in costume, then it comes out to a New Day versus Rock, mic off, which again, how stale the Rock's act is. New Day comes out with their unicorn horns on, and Rock's like, oh, you're wearing llama penises, llama penis. And it's just like...
And that probably started trending right after that.
Probably. And it's just so... And I am not a fan of lowbrow. So I know this is not geared towards my entertainment, but it just... It's that easy, no thought involved...
It's like poop jokes or fart jokes. Cena kind of goes to that well a lot as well, I think.
Cena gets criticized for it, but then when The Rock does it, oh, it's The Rock. It's awesome, because Attitude Era, yeah. But then the segment ended with the Usos coming out, and then The Rock laid out all of New Day because, hey, put the part-timer, or not even part-timer, put the old guy over the, you know, so that's what fans want for some reason. But my question is, what did this segment, which took up probably about 20 minutes in total from The Rock showing up to the end, what did that segment accomplish other than getting Rock on the show?
And it, you know, popped a rating, I'm sure, as well.
Maybe. Yeah, and, had somebody respond to me on Twitter and say, you know, it sets up New Day versus the Usos and The Rock at WrestleMania. Does it? Because by all... reports, The Rock will be shooting the Baywatch movie at that time and cannot actively participate due to insurance issues, which, remember, his last match at WrestleMania, he tore his abdomen, so...
Well, and last year when he showed up right around this time, there was speculation, because he cut into Rusev and Lana, there was speculation that it was going to be The Rock and Rusev at WrestleMania, and that didn't materialize either, so I wouldn't put a whole lot of credence into just because he was there and cut the promo on the New Day and did what he did that it's going to result in a 6-man tag match.
I did not expect that. So then my question is, what did that segment accomplish? Nothing other than to kill 20 minutes and let The Rock spit out catchphrases and juvenile humor. I understand fans like The Rock. And The Rock, I like The Rock as an actor. Not as a wrestler. But it's more those times where you sacrifice your main roster current talent at the expense of, you know, a former talent.
But one could also argue that if I'm a 90s fan of wrestling, and now today I'm a casual fan, but I see that The Rock is going to be on Raw. Mm-hmm. I tune into Raw, and I watch the first, and I don't know how they had him in the segment, because I watch everything kind of chopped up. Say he's in hour two, well, I watch for an hour, and I see Dolph Ziggler, and I see Neville and Kalisto, and, you know, all these other guys, and I'm like, you know what, I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Maybe I'll start watching this a little more often. Then The Rock comes out, and I'm like, cool, The Rock is back. And, you know, do you think that happens at all, that maybe a casual fan tunes in and then their interest gets piqued? Because, I mean, let's face it, the segment with The Rock did get a very good rating.
I mean, I'm not going to say it doesn't. It could. And then the test will be, what are the ratings next week or the week after? You know, which, granted, WWE has to put on a show that keeps people coming back to begin with.
Sure.
But if you're, I don't know, I mean, we've been over this time and time again. I just hate, like I said, you never saw during the Attitude Era, you never saw Tito Santana come in and beat up Rocky Maivia. You never saw the Killer Bees come in and beat up the New Age Outlaws.
Right.
You know, it was, those guys were made to be stars of that time. And now, I don't know, other than, you know, The Rock is one of the biggest stars. Like, if you would have had Big E lay out The Rock at the end instead of The Rock laying out all of New Day, I think you would have done more to build interest, because if Rock lays out all three, why do I want to see a six-man tag at WrestleMania if it should happen? Rock's right. Already laid everybody out. But if Big E lays out Rock, okay, I want to see Rock get his revenge on Big E.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I would agree with that.
All right.
I would agree with that.
You've been lawyered. Okay.
Okay, so now let's transition to injuries.
All right.
I guess there are reports that Sheamus has done something to his wrist. He posted a picture on Instagram and or Twitter, I believe, with a cast. It looked like a cast to me, at least.
Yeah, I think I read tendonitis.
So, you know, you add another one to the list of folks who are injured. And Alberto Del Rio, too, I think you posted this on the My123Cents Facebook page, that he's having some issues, but not necessarily off the list yet.
Yeah, I think it was back pain, and I think I saw earlier today that The Miz had replaced him on the house shows.
So my question for you is this. I mean, we're 9 weeks away from WrestleMania. You've got the biggest guy on the current active roster, John Cena, out from neck surgery. Now his girlfriend, Nikki Bella, out, neck surgery. Not that she was going to be a major player. Randy Orton, questionable. You know, there's some speculation that he'll be back for WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan, of course, is still out, and I want to get more into Daniel Bryan in just a minute. Sheamus possibility, Alberto Del Rio possibility, Cesaro is out. You know, we've talked before about building up guys and whatnot. What else can be done, do you think? Unless you flip-flop, as someone suggested on our Facebook page, it might have been Adam Testa, that you run the NXT card at WrestleMania.
I think that would be awesome. I would like to see what the reaction would be. I think, based on early speculation, I think Sheamus and Del Rio will be able to go at WrestleMania. They may keep them off TV, or not off TV, but, you know, out of action for the next few weeks, so it's a feel. Which goes in not only to, you know, the point of making other stars, but to me, and I've been saying this for years, is every week Raw is basically a repeat of the previous show, until they change up a storyline after a pay-per-view. Like, you get the same people every week, you get the same segments. I think they need to figure out a way to cycle the roster on a weekly basis, where you don't have the same guys fighting. You know, like, if Rusev and Ryback wrestle this week, give them, you know, maybe a promo segment next week, but then don't have them wrestle until the week after. Like, you know, it's kind of like back in the old school days, where when they would do, you know, a 5-hour taping for the whole month, you would get different people on the shows. And I grant, you know, I know the shows were only an hour long back then.
Right.
But there needs to be a way with the roster that they have, with the amount of people that aren't on TV for months at a time. You know, like, what is Damian Sandow doing right now? Why isn't he wrestling on TV? Why do we get the same segments every week? And I think if you cycled out, one, it gives the guys, you know, a reduced schedule, which hopefully will help, you know, with injuries. Two, it keeps people fresh because, you know, last week I mentioned on the Rumble post-show that the Royal Rumble show was fine. It was good wrestling. But all the matches on the undercard I'd seen for the last 4 weeks. Like I had no interest in watching them on the Rumble show because I'd already seen them. So I think, and I'm probably going to say this, if we do episode 620 of the podcast, I'll probably still be saying, needs to figure out a way to utilize the full roster better. And then, yes, I am totally down for WrestleMania NXT.
It would be interesting, to say the very least. Now, I want to talk a lot about Daniel Bryan and his situation. Obviously, his doctor has cleared him to come back. WWE's doctor has said no. I've read a couple of different reports that they are looking for a third independent doctor to give an assessment and decide whether or not Daniel Bryan should return to WWE as a wrestler. Now, WWE apparently has offered some non-wrestling responsibilities or duties for him. I don't know if that would include training, if that would include anything on camera. But it's hard to deny that Daniel Bryan, I think, is still, even with Brock Lesnar around, probably the most popular and over guy in the company. If he were to come back tomorrow, I think the roof would blow off of whatever arena he were to step into. Do you think WWE is being too cautious because of concerns over lawsuits? I've read some reports that, you know, the wife of Viscera, for example, after he passed away, has filed a lawsuit against WWE. You know, there's all these guys who came up in WCW, and then, of course, once WWE absorbed WCW, they were faced with lawsuits over concussions and over injuries in the ring, drug abuse, whatever it is. WWE is now the only game in town, so to speak. So, of course, somebody wants something, so they're going to go after WWE. They're that 800-pound gorilla in the room. So is WWE playing it cautious and considering not only Daniel Bryan's health, but also considering their financial well-being?
You know, without knowing the full specifics of Daniel Bryan's case, I think it's hard to say. I do not blame WWE for being cautious, given all the concussion injuries that have happened, or, you know, with people, not only the ones suing them, but if you also look at the NFL and how concussion lawsuits and whatnot are happening in that realm. I kind of also blame Daniel Bryan because when he came back from the, you know, the first neck injury, he didn't tone down his style at all. He was still doing, you know, the headfirst dives into the barricades, the diving headbutts. It's, and I don't, from what I have heard about Bryan, I don't know if he's somebody who can go out there and not go 100%.
Right.
You know, like he's gonna, to him, this is what he does, and to do a different type of style would not be Daniel Bryan. I think I would like to see Daniel Bryan come back from a fan's perspective, and I think one of the reasons why he is still so popular is kind of like why The Rock is still so popular is because the fans never got a chance to get tired of them. You know, they had a very short term of popularity and then were gone. So I think the fans want to, not that the fans want to get sick of him, but they want to, they never got the finished product of what they wanted.
Right. Yeah, we kind of saw his evolution, but it never came fully to fruition.
yeah, like, they want him to have a good title reign. So, you know, I would like to, yeah, I would like to see Brian back. I don't think you can be too cautious in the situation. And, you know, you look at Shawn Michaels. You know, he took 4 years off due to back injury and came back probably better than he was before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and you know, Daniel Bryan is still relatively young for wrestling. I would recommend taking as much time as needed to make sure he is 100% and not even come back at 99%. Like, make sure he is totally fine, totally, you know, good to go. And then, yeah, if he can come back, my fear would be if WWE doesn't release him to wrestle again and he doesn't take the, you know, the whatever non-wrestling jobs they're offering him, if he just takes a release, then, well, one, you know, TNA is going to throw money at him to have him show up, although I think Brian would probably go back to Ring of Honor or New Japan or PWG, whatever, and then he's going to get into that indie wrestling style, which I don't think would be beneficial to a long-term career.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd like to see him back, but I want to see him come back healthy and without any chance of serious injury to himself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And someone else I left off the list of big names that are injured, obviously Seth Rollins, who you know, is still recuperating after his surgery as well. Are there any, what else do you, that was kind of my list, my rundown. We have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to put out there? I know we have to ask WrestleMania prize pack question too still.
Yeah. let's see. What else is going on in the world of wrestling? Trying to think. I mean, you know, TNA's back on pop. Matt Hardy's champion. Have you caught up on TNA yet?
No, I have not. And I do intend to do that. And I'm also looking forward to, I guess there are some reports, and I guess Jim Ross actually confirmed it as well, that he's going to be the voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is on, and I never...
Access
TV, which I do get as well.
Yeah, I do not get that, so...
Starting in March, I think he's going to be...
yeah, I think March 2nd is what he said.
Yeah, he'll be recording some stuff in L.A., and then doing some voiceover work in February, and then it'll be on TV starting in March. So I am looking forward to that just to... I like JR. I still miss him being on, and I know that he has kind of become a parody of himself through the years, but...
But I wonder if that was just due to WWE style.
And that may be true, because I did not see the Wrestle Kingdom show that he called last year, so I'll be curious to see what he's like on New Japan and kind of without the strings being pulled, so to speak, by Vince McMahon. So it'll be interesting to see where that ends up going.
Yeah, especially being a taped show, because the New Japan show it's a weekly show, but it's not a weekly show. It's
right.
Matches, you know, from the previous, I believe, like year or so, just kind of thrown together as a best of type.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I have watched it a few times, and I was trying to kind of get their continuity and what they were doing with it, but that makes sense now that you said it like that, so.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't get access. I haven't seen the show. So, I am curious to know how. I watched a little bit of the Wrestle Kingdom show that he announced. But, again, I'm not familiar with the Japanese wrestler. So, I wasn't involved with the show.
Sure.
Emotionally. But, I mean, good for JR. Hopefully he will be back. Oh, and speaking of being back, Lucha Underground is back. You said you do not get the El Rey Network.
I do not.
Trying to find a way. It is, the first show was amazing, and I just, their style, their presentation is just so different than what you get with WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor or whatnot, that it's, I don't know if you saw Jim Cornette's rant about it and how it's, I believe he called it horse pucky, because it totally kills wrestling, because it's the way it's all shot is like a movie, and so therefore you can't take it serious because you know it's not real, and more colorful words from Jim Cornette. I don't know if Jim Cornette just says things to get a reaction, but I personally enjoy the way that everything is done in the backstage area with the multiple cameras. It makes it look like a television show. But the wrestling is top-notch, and this week they had a three-way, spoiler for anybody who has not watched the first episode, they did a three-way match for the number one contender to the title, but the three contestants were the former Trios champions. I can never pronounce the female wrestler's name correctly. Ivelisse, I believe, and Helico, and then a buddy that you probably have a picture of with him at some point, Son of Havoc, who, if you don't know the name, I'm just going to say, pull out your favorite photo that you have.
I know exactly. I'm looking at it right now, so I know exactly who you're talking about.
Son of Havoc, they wrestled with Ivelisse winning the match and then challenging Mil Muertes for the title, which is, Chikara has Princess Kimberly as their grand champion currently. I mean, I think they had a show last night, kicked off their season 15 last night, so I don't know what the outcome of her match against Oleg. But to see on broadcast TV or cable television a world title match between a male and female is, it's pretty, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it's I guess, shocking. Because you're not going to see, you're never going to see Charlotte versus John Cena or Sasha Banks versus Roman Reigns. So, although I wonder if Charlotte took on Roman Reigns, who would be cheered? So Lucha Underground is back. Like, if you can find a way to watch Lucha Underground, I don't think they put it up on YouTube, so you probably have to find some other means.
Someone tweeted me a way to watch it, and I will put it on the description for this week's show of how to tune into Lucha Underground.
All right, yeah, I would highly recommend. It's an hour-long show, so it goes by quickly. And I mean, Johnny Mundo, former Johnny Nitro, is really good on the show. Prince Puma, like, the talent is, even though I'm not familiar with a lot of the Lucha stars, it's just great storytelling, and I can't say enough good things about it.
Alrighty, well, sounds good, and batteries are starting to run low here, so do you have a question in mind, or do you want me to ask one?
Oh, you asked, since I asked last week.
Okay. During this week's episode, and again, to answer this question, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/my123cents, and send a message, and you will be entered into our WrestleMania prize contest. And Chad, run down again what the big prizes are.
All right, the prizes are third prize will be a $25 Shop WWE gift card. Second prize will be a Sting pack. I believe it's going to include a Sting Funko, I think that's how you pronounce them, Funko doll. The big-headed vinyl things that are all popular now.
Yep.
The Sting, I think it's called Beyond the Light DVD that WWE just released. Sting Unmasked, WCW VHS. So hopefully whoever wins still has a VHS player. Or if not, you got a cool little display case. And then a Sting 10 Years of TNA Hall of Fame t-shirt.
Wow.
Because Sting is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, but he's also in the TNA Hall of Fame. So we don't want to forget that. So it's actually a pretty cool shirt. It's and then the first prize will be a 3-month subscription to WrestleCrate.
Very cool stuff. Again, it is facebook.com/my123cents. Send the answer to this question. During this podcast, Chad and I were talking about The Rock and the fans who were cosplaying, and Chad acknowledged the fact that one wrestler, one WWE superstar, once acknowledged him at a WrestleMania. Who was that superstar? Who noticed Chad's costume and kind of stared at him? Didn't say anything, but he stared us up and down. So answer that question. And again, Chad, this is a cumulative thing, so fans can answer one time for each week and be entered multiple times, right?
Yeah, you can answer every week. Every week that you answer, I'm keeping a list. So every week that you send in. So if you are new to the podcast and you haven't and you didn't hear last week's contest, go back and listen to episode 61. You can still send us the answer. And the contest runs until the podcast after Fastlane. So you got another 2-3 weeks to enter. And the more times you enter, the better your chances of winning are.
Yeah, I'm excited about this, and I'm looking forward to rewarding our fans I shouldn't call them our fans, but rewarding our listeners, because I know there are some who are not fans. But
we're just basically bribing people to listen to this show.
Yeah, essentially, yes. But we do appreciate it. Any parting words here before we wrap things up?
No, I think we're good. I think we covered everything. I'll be curious to see... Oh, we did not discuss, and then we'll save this for the Fastlane discussion, but, you know, the Authority has spent the last month trying to get the title off of Roman Reigns, and then what do they do on Monday? They put him in a main event match at Fastlane where the winner goes on to challenge the heavyweight title at WrestleMania.
Well, you did address that in your last blog at my123cents.com.
Yes, but we didn't address it on the show here, so we'll save that for the Fastlane discussion.
Yes, Fastlane coming up very soon. Again, everyone, thanks for listening, downloading, sharing My123cents, the podcast. Be sure to check us out also at My123cents.com and BreakingWrestlingNews.com. And, of course, the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network at JitteryMonkey.com. We'll talk to you guys next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.